Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So my question is, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 47 through 49. And I need your attention right here on the screen. And I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, the God of all comfort. Jesus, the God of all comfort. Praise God. Praise God. So are you there? Are you there at Luke 24? Let's go there and read verses 47 through 49. And the Word of God reads, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Verse 46 through 49. "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance," that's the key right there, saints of God, "and that repentance and remission meaning forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Praise God. Praise God. You see, this evening's message, it's going to be focused on the power of God, the Spirit of God, and what he does in the life of a believer. You see, if we just read the Word without having that awesome experience with him, then it's just ink on pages. And so it's through faith. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God." And so the Word of God needs to be preached so that God's Word would be sown into your hearts by faith, and that God would make it come alive unto you, and that God would illuminate, God would show you beautiful, beautiful nuggets of gold, precious fine gold in the Word of God to illuminate you, to build you up, so that you would see things that you didn't see before. And only God can open up the understanding of your mind and give you wisdom from on high. Man's wisdom takes you so far, but it's the wisdom of God that carries us into eternity. Praise God. And so, my friends, even as Christians, it's possible for us to be unaware of one of God's most awesome blessings. That's right. Although we may know, saints of God, we've been saved, and you know you're saved, we may not realize that the Holy Spirit came to live within us at every moment. And even if we heard this truth, we may not understand who the Spirit is or why his indwelling presence is significant. That's my question. Do you know why God gave you the Holy Spirit? You see, my friends, the Scripture tells us everything we need to know about this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit sent to us from our Heavenly Father. Why? To enable you and I to become and do what he desires. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, saints, the Holy Spirit is an awesome third person of the Godhead that comes to live inside of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's God Almighty himself living in us. And it's not just a power or force. Even if a translation of the Bible may occasionally refer to him as it, The overwhelming original Greek terminology signifies that he is God. Praise God. Look at this for a moment, saints of God. Let's look at this right here. Look at this. Even as Christians, it's possible for us to be unaware of one of God's most awesome blessings. Awesome blessings. That's right. God chose to bless us on this earth to walk in his ways, to speak the things of God, to be used mightily by him, to lay hands on sick, to watch them recover. See, God is sovereign and God will choose us. That's right, you and me. And you remember how you were before you got saved. You remember those BC years. I remember them clearly. I would have never dreamed that God would call me from darkness into his marvelous light. And now, I am so thankful. I don't want no other life. I hope you don't want no other life. This is the life now that I desire, is to fulfill the call in my life. You should be wanting to fulfill the call in your life. Unfortunately, there's people who have walked away, who slammed the door and don't say goodbye. Pray for them. Pray for them. Why? Because God has a call on their life. God wants to do something mighty in their life. God wants to use every moment of our life to bring him glory. And so, saints, when God created mankind, he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And that's found in the book of Genesis. You see, my friends, the plural pronouns in this passage refer to the Godhead. The Godhead was involved in the creation. And as human beings, we bear the image of the Godhead bodily. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Oh, yes. Now, let's go to Romans and let's look at this for a moment. Let's go to the book of Romans right here. Look, let's go here, right here. Here we go. Question, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? In the book of Romans, look at this, 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We need to understand who is the Holy Spirit. Let's clearly identify him through the Word of God. And so, my friends, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit would come upon individuals in order to achieve his purposes, but he could also leave. Praise God. But you and I, we've been born again. Saints of God, we've been born again. The night before Jesus was crucified, he promised to ask the Father to send the disciples a helper, the Spirit of truth, who would be with them and in them forever, forevermore. Listen, you and I, we've been privileged. We're blessed to have the Holy Spirit now living in us. You see, the way it took place is we came broken. The Bible says, with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And so we came with humility. He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. He quickened us to come to him. He gave us the measure of faith to believe who he was. We were the walking dead at one time. We were like in a coffin, dead, in our dead state. And then God touched us. He made us come alive. And when we opened our spiritual eyes, we saw the cross. And we ran to the cross and we embraced him. My goodness, my goodness. And because God has washed us now in the blood of the Lamb, by his own blood, then he filled us with his Spirit. Now he has empowered us to be a witness. He has empowered us to carry his will. He has empowered us to preach and teach his word. He has empowered us to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. He has empowered us to bring a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Praise God. God is doing the radical things that man cannot do. Only God can do that through sinful men like you and me, like sinful women. That's right. But God, he's sovereign. He can choose whoever who he wants to use. Can I get an amen? Now, I want you to look at this scripture right here in John. Look at this. It says right here. He says in John 14:16-18, it says, I will pray the Father. And look at this. And he will what? Give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Why? Because the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him. Did you catch that? You see, it's like the wind. You could walk outside and feel the wind blowing, but you can't see it. Well, the Holy Spirit's the same. You can't see it with the natural eye. Look at this. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Say that with me at home, saints of God. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will want come to you. Wow. Saints, even though Jesus would no longer be physically present with them, he wasn't going to leave them to fend for themselves like orphans, but promised to come to them through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Praise God, praise God. Now, let's look at our second point here. Let's look at this. Why did the Father send the Holy Spirit? Why did he send the Holy Spirit? You see, my friends, before his ascension, Jesus gave his disciples the assignment of proclaiming repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. All nations. Nations means ethnicity, meaning blacks, whites, Filipinos, Mexicans, Samoans, Puerto Ricans, Anglo-Saxon, you name it. All nations, beginning with Jerusalem. He told them he'd send his Father's promise upon them. But they were to stay in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Praise God. Listen, we cannot do nothing without his power. I hope you know that. We need his power to operate in us. That's right. You know why people suffer burnout in churches? Because a lot of them are not walking in the Spirit. They're not walking in the fullness of God. They're not walking in the power of God. They're doing things in their own strength. And this flesh will be weak. Oh, yes. Let's look at another scripture here and look. Look at this. In Luke 24, 47 through 49. Look at this right here. It says, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name. There you go, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses. Say that with me. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'll tell you, when the Holy Ghost fell on me, words cannot explain what took place with me. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. The corners of my mouth were pinned to my ears. And it was like someone inside me was smiling for me. And it was like I was looking out through someone else's eyes that were in me. It's hard to explain. But now I understand. I didn't. 32 years ago, I didn't know what that was. But now I understand. The Holy Ghost came to live inside me. Praise God. And ever since then, he has kept me. He has kept me. He has kept you. For me, it's been 32 years. I don't know how long he's kept you, but it's the power of God that keeps us. Can I get an amen? Listen, this flesh does not want to be saved. I hope you know that. But it's the power of God, the anointing of God that comes to destroy the yokes in our life. Praise God. Praise God. Now listen, saints of God. Christ's words were fulfilled shortly thereafter on the day of Pentecost. And while the believers were gathered together, suddenly they heard a noise from heaven that sounded like a violent rushing wind. And there appeared to them as tongues of fire distributing to all of them. And they rested on each and every one of them. Let's look at the Word of God and let's see this for a moment. In Acts chapter 2, 1 through 6, look at this. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Look at this in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Why? Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Praise God. Praise God. That was the birth of the church, the ecclesia of the church. Praise God. Listen, you remember Scaredy Cat Peter. He denied Jesus three times. Most of them ran from persecution when they apprehended the Lord Jesus to crucify him on a hideous cross. Oh, my friends. But on that day when Pentecost came, they were filled and they were endued with power from on high. And now they were boldly proclaiming the word of God. They were preaching and teaching. They had no fear of their own life anymore. Why? Because the power of God came, hallelujah, to fill their entire being. Has God filled your entire being? Are you walking in the fullness of Christ? Are you walking with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Are you walking with anointing? Does people feel the presence of God when you walk into their presence? Can they see a difference in your life? Can they see a difference in your language? Can they see a difference in your talk? Can they see a difference in your walk? Praise God. You see, when the power of God comes upon someone, it starts to transform. It starts to sanctify a person. It starts to build that person up in his most holy faith, a faith that they never had before. And God will do the miraculous. You will walk in miracles. You will walk in anointing. You will walk in his grace. You will walk in his mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. For what he's doing in your life, what he's done in my life. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, man? I'm telling you, I gotta slow my roll. I got a little bit more to go here. Praise God. Now let's look at this. Let's point number three. When does the Holy Spirit come? When does it come? Does it come by email? Does it come by fax? Does he text it to you? You know, I'm being facetious right now, but listen, the Spirit comes to indwell and to seal believers. You see, but here's the key. Here's the key. When the heart repents, and only God can give us a measure of faith, but when the heart repents and cries out and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us ears to hear and eyes to see. We see the cross now. We see that he points out our sin, where at one time we didn't care about our ungodliness. We didn't care about our sinfulness. But when he quickened us, he touched us. We were like dead people in a coffin. And he opened up our eyes and he allowed us to see him. And we've been privileged to see the cross. And we ran and we embraced the cross and we cried out for forgiveness. God gave us a heart to repent. As soon as we repented before God, here comes his blood to wash away the sin. Hallelujah. Past, present, and future. Let me just say this. He casts your sins from east to the west, and he remembers them no more. But old Slewfoot, the devil will remind you about your past. He'll come and remind you about the things that you've done. But I'm here to let you know, when he rears his ugly head and he comes to you, you need to let him know about his future. You need to let him know that he's about ready to be cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet. That's right. He's about ready to be destroyed. And God is going to clean up this mess in this world. Can I get an amen? But you got to hold on. You got to hold on, saints of God. Don't let go. Don't throw in the towel. Some people have walked out. Hallelujah. They've walked away from their call. This is not the time to walk out. This is a time to hold on. This is a time to keep pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, my friends, today the Spirit comes to indwell and seal believers, praise God, at the time of salvation through the washing of the blood. Let's look at a couple of scripture references here. Let's look at this in Ephesians 1:13-14. Look at this. In him you also trusted. Wow. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise, who is the what? Guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Praise God. Praise God. See, saints, the seal implies God's authority and authenticity. Praise God. We are now his children. Do you believe that you're a child of God? You better believe it. And our names are written in the book of Lamb's of Life. Hallelujah. The book of life. The Lamb's book. Say that with me. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And God has sealed us. And since this seal cannot be broken by anything or anyone, saints, guess what it does? It guarantees our eternal security. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Here is the evidence of the Holy Spirit operating in a person's life. Praise God. Praise God. And it's found right here. It's found right here in God's Word. Look at this. Galatians 5:22 through 24. You see, let me just pause here for a moment. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot operate like this. You know why? Because you will be faking it. That's right. It has to be birthed from His Spirit into your being in order to operate in this category. Let's look at the Word of God once again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and what? Desires. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Because we know what the sins of the flesh will do. But when we were walking and living in our BC years, there was no way to operate like Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. We were a wreck. Come on. A lot of us, our lives was toe up from the flow up. I'm using Brother G's term. We were a wreck. This is why that song, Amazing Grace, who saved a wretch like me. My goodness. Now, let's go to our fourth point right here. Look at this. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does He do? Does He come just to give you joy? Does He come just to comfort you? No, there's a lot of things that the Spirit of God does. Let's go to John 16 and 8. Let's look at this. Number one, He convicts us of sin. Wow. Wow. Look at this. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Wow, praise God. Look at this. He permanently indwells in us. John 14, 16 says, and I will pray that the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you when? Temporarily? Oh, well, you know what? If you act up, you know what? I'm gone. No, it says He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Did you catch that, saints of God? Are you catching this at all? Are you catching this at all? Listen. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. God is with us. And no matter, listen, we're in a pandemic that has not quit. Next month will be a full year that it's been here. And there's still people catching it. There's still people getting sick. But I'm here to let you know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will see us through. That's right. What else does the Holy Spirit does? Look at this. It comes to what? He seals us. My goodness. Look at the Word of God says right underneath that statement right there. What does it say? It says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed? Man, we are sealed until the day of redemption. God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we are forever His. Look what else. Let's go back here. Look at this. He teaches us and reminds us of God's Word. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? This is why be in your Word and hide His Word in your heart. Praise God. Look at this. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? This is what He will do. Praise God. Look at this. Now, He will also do this. He guides us into all truth. Let me ask you, aren't you so blessed to know that God's word won't lie to you? The Bible says God is not like a man who will lie. We can lie to one another all day long. Yeah, we'll confess, oh God, forgive me, I shouldn't have said that. But we live in this sinful flesh that makes those errors, that makes sometimes those mistakes on purpose. Oh yes, but God cannot do that. God is truth. Thy word is truth. God will not lie to us. Why? Because he is holy and there is no sin in him. Praise God. So let's go back and look at this in John 16, 13. However, when the spirit of what? Truth has come. Look at that. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Listen, if you read the word of God and the prophetic significance, you'll see what's coming. The Bible says that Jesus is soon to come. That's right. You see, my friends, when he does come, he's got to move the church out of the way. That's right. And then he will bring final judgment to this earth. Wow. Wow. You know, it's in the word of God. And it tells us clearly. Now, let's look at this other concept here. The Holy Spirit comes to bear fruit through us. What? That's right. Listen, we covered this. Let's cover it again. But the fruit of the Spirit, say that with me at home. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Praise God. Now, look at this one right here. He comforts us. He comforts us. This is the name of this message. Jesus, the God of all comfort. Look at John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus now sits on the right hand of his Father? Praise God. And he has sent the Comforter to comfort you and I. That's right. Listen, I don't care what you're going through right now. But if you've never been born again, you can cry out and ask Jesus to save you. At the conclusion of this message, I'm going to give you that opportunity to cry out to him. And even you, saints of God, that are going through, my goodness, he is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at this. He equips us with spiritual gifts. Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. And the Word of God reads, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? God is not stingy. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you gifts. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, to use your hands to lay on the sick and watch them recover, to preach the word of God in season and out of season. God wants you to be available for him. God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to testify. God's grace wants to work mightily in your life, but you got to yield to him. You got to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to say, flesh, you're not going to have your way. I'm not going to have a Burger King life having it my way. That's right. We need to learn to yield to the Spirit of God to use us. Those of you, God has gifted you to be wonderful worship singers and worship musicians and Bible teachers and just those who would witness and testify what God has done in your lives, that you would win others to Christ. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at this. He fills us with his Spirit, with joy. Look at that, Ephesians 5:18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which dissipation, But be filled what? With the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, after you've been filled with the Spirit of God, He then empowers us. Look at this in Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power. Say that with me at home. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria at the end of the earth. Let me just say this right here, my friends. You don't have to fly to Judea and Samaria. You know where Judea and Samaria is? Your neighbor next door. Your friend down the street. Your relatives. That's right, your friends, those on the job. God wants you to reach them. God wants you to share with them. God wants you to testify and be a witness what He has done in your life. When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? When's the last time, my friends, that you spoke of the things of God with unbelievers to have them start thinking, to have them start saying, man, I wonder if God loves me. You got to let them know He does. He does. You see, saints, although the Spirit comes to indwell us immediately upon salvation after we've been washed in the blood, His work within us takes a lifetime. His job is to enable us to do everything God desires and to transform us into the people He wants us to be. Can I get an amen? Praise God. And since we know we have a constant helper reminding us who we are in Christ and equipping you and I for each day's challenges, we never have to struggle through our life in our own strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, saints of God, this doesn't mean that we'll never have difficulties and conflicts. I'm here to let you know we will. We will have them. Can I get an amen? We will have conflicts in our life. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. We'll have conflicts. We'll have difficulties, misunderstandings. But through them all, He guards our way and gives us His wisdom. And when we sin, He immediately convicts us so that we can confess and receive forgiveness. Aren't you so blessed? See, God has equipped us to keep us. That's why it's Him keeping us and not us keeping Him. Because if we were to work through and work, it's called a type of work, salvation, which the Arminians do. And that's a topic and another teaching for another time. It's God that's holding on to us. It's God that's given us His grace. It's God's mercy. And all we have to do is embrace. You know, it's like this. I do things for my wife because I love her. I'm in love with her. And so because I'm in love with her, I will do what she asks of me. That's right. I won't bicker and argue. Why? Because I love her. I want to please her. Well, guess what? God wants you to please Him no differently. Well, God wants you to love Him too. It's not about do's and don'ts. You see, if it's about do's and don'ts, where's your relationship with Him? If there's things that are abhorrent to Him, then we need to look at it in His light and say, you know, God, if that is abhorrent to you, it needs to be abhorrent in my life too. Why? Because I love you. It's about not breaking His heart. Why? Because you love Him. Look at this for a moment. Let's look at God's word here. In 1 John 1, 9 through 10, look at this. If we confess, say that with me at home. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Now, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, look at this. We make Him a liar. The truth is not in us. Wow. Wow. Now, let's look at our fifth point here. The Holy Spirit is our source of power. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, saints, when Jesus gave His disciples the task of preaching the gospel to the entire world, they had absolutely no power to carry it out. None. Until the power of God came upon them. Praise God. Look at this for a moment. Let's look at this word right here. Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with what? Power from on high. You see, we can't do it in our own strength. We need God's power. That's why Jesus told them to wait until the Spirit came. In the same way, if we hope to accomplish what God desires in your life, in my life, we need to see Him as our source of power and strength. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is God's divine ability and authority released in the believer's lives for the purpose of godly living and fruitful service, saints of God. When we walk in the Spirit, we're relying on His strength. I hope you know that. To accomplish God's entire will for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at the Word of God here for a moment. Look at this. In Galatians 5, 16 through 17, look at this. It's written right here for our understanding, our edification. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary to one another, so that you do not do what? The things that you wish. Wow. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, God. God is awesome. God is awesome. Look at this, saints of God. As a result, we experience the following benefits. There are benefits to be in Christ. Look at this. We may get tired, but we won't burn out. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Look at this one. We won't get discouraged by obstacles, knowing the Spirit within us. Well, what? What will the Spirit do? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Within us will enable us to do whatever He's called you and I to do, to accomplish it. Wow. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Look at this one. We'll trust God rather than trying to manipulate our own circumstances. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that we would rather trust God? I'd rather trust God. I hope you know that. I will. Look at this. We may experience distress, but we won't become what? Desperate. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You see, saints, when we do God's work in His strength, in His ways, and with His wisdom, we'll be blessed no matter what goes around us. That's right. Walking in the Spirit doesn't make life easy. I hope you know that. But we never have to walk through it alone. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Why? Because our Helper is always with us. He's always with you. And so, let's look at this for a moment. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, saints of God? You see, although we're sealed and indwelt by Him, and we're saved, this is not the same to be being filled. To be filled with the Spirit means we have surrendered our lives to Him, acknowledging that He owns us and has the right to what? Lead us. When we are fully yielded and walking in obedience to His will, then He has full control and fills us with Himself. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, in closing, I have a couple of questions for us. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go here. What role does the Holy Spirit play in your life? Well, how does He use you? Write these down. How has He used you in the past? Who is He today to you? Praise God. Look at number two. Are you yielding to Him? Are you allowing God's Spirit, praise God, to use you in mighty ways? Number three, what do you think a fully surrendered life would require of you? What do you think it would? Some people don't have a clue. Look at number four. What would you have to relinquish or to change so that God can use you in mighty, mighty, mighty ways? Look at number five here. Have you ever tried to live the Christian life in your own power? What was the outcome? To me, it was crash and burning. That's right. Crash and burn. That's right. Doing it my way. Having a Burger King life. Look at number six. As you examine your life, is the fruit of the Spirit displayed in all that you do? Did you catch that, my friends? Let me just pause for a moment. There's a whole lot of folks that claim to be spiritual, filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet, their tongues are longer than their pant leg. For some sisters, their tongues are longer than their dress. For brothers, their tongues are longer than their pant leg, as I just shared. That's right. That's right. You see, the power of God comes to do the miraculous. The Holy Spirit comes to bridle our tongue so that what proceeds out of our heart, praise God, will be the power of the Holy Spirit to do His work, to have grace, to have mercy, to have love, to have joy, to do things for Him because we love Him and not that we have to do them. Praise God. And the last question here is, how can you remind yourself to respond to others based on the Spirit's prompting rather than your own emotions? Did you catch that, my friends? My goodness, my goodness. I'm telling you, this is a time to get real with God. This is the time to get close to the Spirit of God. Maybe you're listening for the very first time and you've never surrendered your life. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you joined a church. Maybe you just got invited to a church and you kept coming. But there was really no supernatural change. I'm here to let you know that this is not a coincidence that you're listening right now to this live stream. I'm here to let you know that God loves you and the Word of God, which is already forever settled in heaven, has promises for you. And one of the promises for the church is that He's coming back again. That's right. And He's going to come in the clouds. The Bible's clear that you and I, born-again believers, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of God, we are what's called in the Word of God, the bride of Christ. Jesus has betrothed us. He has gone away to His Father's house to build us a mansion. And when He comes back, we're going to go back with Him. He's going to take us home. We're going to be raptured out of here. But my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Look what God's Word says right up here. Look at this right here. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain shall by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself, look at this, for the Lord Himself, thank you, Jesus, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. But let me just say this. We're not going to go up in these fleshly bodies. Why? Because the law of gravity has us here on this planet Earth. There has to be a supernatural change. And the Bible's clear. We must be changed and we must become like Him. So, I have scripture to just show you quickly what will take place. The greatest event next that's coming, that's going to be worldwide, it's going to be known to our world today, will be the rapture of the church. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Look at this, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. So my question, my friends, is, are you ready? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of promise? Have you given your heart to God? And is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life that we read today? Listen, you need to be ready. Because if you're not ready, don't let this happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. My friends, you don't want to be left behind. If you're watching for the very first time, or maybe you truly never surrendered to the Lord, this is your opportunity to cry out to God. I want to lead you into a prayer of confession. The prayer doesn't save you, but it's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. Listen. The very first sermon that was preached, it still stands today. There has to be a heart of repentance. Let's look at this for a moment. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. That's it. You have to give your heart to the Lord. You got to repent of your sins. My friends, God wants to do the miraculous. That's right. He wants to do the miraculous in your heart. And all you have to do is cry out. As I mentioned, I want to lead you into a prayer. But come by faith. Bow your heart and your head with me and repeat this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Listen, someone just gave their heart to Christ. Someone just got saved. And listen, down below is our website. Reach out to us. You can reach out to us through email or even give us a call. What we want to do is give you a Bible. We want to point you to a good church that will preach and teach the unadulterated Word of God. And we just want to stay in fellowship with you. And we want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the rest of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, thank you. Thank you for being such an awesome contributor to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Down below right there, for those who maybe never contributed to us, hey, donations are deeply appreciated. And so we want to thank and praise God for this evening's message. I want to thank and praise God for those who have tuned in. And I encourage you, if you haven't joined us at 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Bonita facility, man, I'm telling you, we're having a wonderful time. The worship is incredible. And I'm looking forward to see what God is doing in the midst of all His people. Pray that God will bring a word that I can edify the body of Christ and that souls would get saved. That's right. And I want to thank and praise God for all that He's doing in your life and my life. And so I want to pray a benediction just say thank you. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda, myself, and the whole entire Amazing Grace family, we just want to say we love you guys and we hope the best for you. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, it's time to say good night. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the gifts that you have sent to Amazing Grace. Thank you for those who come alongside us and encourage us. We just want to say we bless you in Jesus' name. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. So until then, God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.